So in James chapter 4, starting in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We'll stop right there. More than we can cover adequately in a long time. But the question, whence come these wars and fightings? So we're looking at a warfare, whether it's a single battle or an elongated war. You know, World War II was many battles in many different locations over a great span of time. And so this warfare that we're talking here, in those that are saved, there's two of every one of us. If you're saved, there's two of you. There is the man that is born of the grace and Spirit and the Word of God, the inward man that is a son of God, and there's the outward man that's born of the seed of Adam, that's corrupt and deceitful and desires evil. And from the point that we receive this salvation, the point that that new man is born in the heart, there's a warfare that begins, a battle between the old nature and the new nature. And so he's going to go on and say, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. There's this continual going on here. And you know, I don't know if you've ever sat down and really thought about it, but if you say, I'm going to try to pray more in the future, I'm going to try to make time to pray twice a day, if you were to say that, and maybe you do pray twice a day, but if you say, I'm going to make time to try to pray unto God twice a day, or I'm going to try to read for 15 minutes a day in the Word of God, if you set those goals for yourself, have you ever noticed how hard that it is to keep that? Even though in that inward man, there's a desire to do that. We know that that's what ought to be done. We know that it would be good for us to do these things. And even inwardly, we desire to do those. But you ever notice what a warfare that there is over everything that you try to do for the Lord? Every time we would set our hearts to serve the Lord or to try to draw near to the Lord, the flesh is there and there's war declared. War has been declared between the two parties. He says in Galatians, I believe saying the same thing, maybe in a little different way, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. So because of the inward man, there's a preserving power of God that would keep us from running free in sin and in the enjoyment of the flesh. And because of the flesh, there's that to prevent us from serving God like we'd really like to in our hearts. And there's the continual clash and battle and warfare that's going on. So James says this, where does this fighting come from? Why is it that when you say, I'm going to pray twice a day, why is it that there's such a battle, not with the children and not with the wife or not with the boss down at work, but the battle is within us. It's within me that would prevent me from doing the things that the Lord would have me to. Where does that come from? Can you see that it's from the lusts? And that word lust there, it's that the heart is set upon. that's desired or wanted. It's from the lusts that's within this man, recognizing this, that there's a corrupt part of us and there's a godly part of us. Now that's in those that are saved. In them that are lost, there is no godly part. Those that have never been regenerated, their whole flesh is lost and their heart is lost. And their service to God, it's all in their mind and it's all hypocrisy. But we're talking about those that are saved, and there's this war, and it's in our members. It's in our body. And you know what it's over? It's over what I'm going to use my members for. You see that? I can use my eyes to read the Word of God. I can use my eyes to lay back and rest. I can use my hands to labor for the Lord. I can use my hands to labor in sin. I hope that makes sense. He says in Romans, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. So as this warfare is going on, the war is over what am I going to do with my time, with my strength, with my effort, and with my opportunity. And on the one hand, there's part of us that would desire to lay back, not serve God, and enjoy the flesh and the things of this world. And there's another part, that inward man, his desire is to press on and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we can't fight that fight, then look where we're left. We're left in a place that there's never any real satisfaction. Because the flesh can't have his way, the Spirit's opposed to the flesh. And the Spirit can't have His way because our flesh is opposed to the Spirit. So in order for there to be a victor, then one's going to have to submit to the other. And we're not talking about two men in a octagon cage fighting. We're talking about our own self, our inward man and his desire to please God, our outward man and his desire for pleasure in the flesh. So if there's going to be victory, one's got to be submitted to the other. And I want you to know this, as we sit right here in the church under the sound of my voice, it's very easy to say, I want the Spirit to win this battle, because we know who the good guy is. It's clear cut who the hero is, and it's clear cut who the enemy is. We know who's good, we know who's evil, and it's easy to say at these times that I'd like to bring my flesh under subjection. I'd like to whoop him, and I'd like to bring him down that I could serve God. And you know, every time that they step in a boxing ring, both of those men say, I want to knock that other fella out. I'd like to make him tap out and submit. But you know what the problem is? The other man's going to fight back. He's not going to lay down and let the man knock him out. He's not going to lay down and let him choke him. But he's going to wrestle and fight and do everything that he can to prevent that. And so that's the way it is in this world. That's the way it is with our lives, with our flesh. Though our heart would desire to serve God, know this, the fleshly man is going to fight tooth and nail to keep everything that he can. He doesn't want to be knocked out. He don't want to lay down and submit. It's going to be a fight and a warfare for everything that's done. And so, whence come they? They come from that that's within your members. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. So to kill, that word can also mean to envy. So you're looking at the world. You think, I'd like to be like that. You look at somebody, maybe even in the church. I remember as a young man looking at Vaughn Plemons and saying, you know, I'd like to be able to teach like Vaughn can teach. I'd like to be like him. And you look out in the world and you see somebody that's worldly and you think, you know, I'd like to be like they are. But you know, if we don't fight this battle, then we're never going to be able to have either one of those. There is a battle left to fight. There is a victory left to win. So he says, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Man is continually trying and looking. Now you think if this ain't true, they're searching for that would please and would satisfy and would bring happiness and would bring joy. That's what man, at the bottom, at the end of the day, that's what every man and every woman is looking for, and that's what they desire. And yet, you know what? Though the flesh fights, and if we give the flesh everything that desires, there's no way that we can obtain that in ourselves. But you know what he's going to say? You have not because you ask not. Think about how elementary that sounds. And we've even sung here tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our cares and griefs to bring. But you know, what the flesh would like is to moan and complain and whine and never bring it to the Lord in prayer. James says this, you have not because you ask not. Now does the Lord not ask us to bring our petitions and requests unto Him? You know, the greatest advice I've thought in several situations, what do I need to do about this? Well, you ought to pray about that. You ought not go blindly as to what feels good to you, but you ought to get down on your knees and pray to an all-knowing and an all-seeing and an all-wise Father that loves your soul. You ought to pray to Him and say, Father, give me some direction here. Would you give me some strength? Would you give me some help? Ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing how that children of God take their very last hope to pray? When ought children of God to pray? Pray without ceasing by the Scripture. It ought not be a last resort. It ought not be after I gum everything up. But it ought to be that I'm continually in prayer to my loving Heavenly Father. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lusts. So what's happening here? Well, you've got one person. They're not going to pray about it. And is there anything that we shouldn't pray about? And then on the other side, you've got people that are praying and asking for things, and they're asking for it for the wrong reason. To fulfill a desire of the flesh. To fulfill that would make my flesh happy and not bring me any nearer to God. You know what ought to be the first thing on my heart and on my mind? In Matthew, the Bible says this, the Lord Jesus says, all these things the Gentiles seek after, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So that word thought there, he's saying, don't be anxious about tomorrow. So here the Lord is saying, the Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows where we are. The Lord knows the fight that we're in. What we ought to do is not seek the worldly things first, but set those aside and let us seek our Heavenly Father. Let us desire first and foremost that the kingdom of God grow in our lives. Let us seek first His rule. Let us let Him have His power. I tell you, if you're going to follow the flesh, and I know there's a warring and there's a battling there, if you're going to submit to the flesh, He's going to woo you. But the Lord says, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, seek first the kingdom and all the other things will fall in line. I believe if you've ever been in that place, you've seen that happen. If you've ever put the Lord first in a situation, you've saw Him work everything else out to perfection. But how do we do that? Well, we're going to have to bow on our face and pray. But know this, if I'm going to bow down and pray for something that's going to take me away from God, if I'm bowing to pray for something that it might fulfill some lust or desire that I have, and it's got no bearing on me drawing near to God, why would God answer that? I mean, if we're talking about a spiritual life here, a spiritual walk, and this that I want, that I'm lusting after, is going to drag me away from God. It's going to reduce my dependency upon Him. It's going to reduce my faithfulness to Him. Then that would be a hindrance to me if I got it, would it not? Would it not hurt me in order to have that? So if that's my desire in praying, then I'm praying for the wrong reason. No, they were praying for their lust's sake. You know how children of God ought to pray? For the kingdom of God's sake. Let the rule and the reign of God grow more and more in my life. You ask that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So friendship, it means fondness. And enmity means hostility. So what's he saying? If you're going to be fond of worldly things, then that's going to make you hostile towards godly things. If your fondness is in the world, then you're being more hostile towards God. There is no way, Jesus says right there where we were reading, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have the world, and that's what man would like. Man would like to have a cake that's half God and a cake that's half the world. And that way, whatever the flavor of the day is, we could cut off a slice and have it. But know this, you can't serve two masters. You can't submit yourself to two people. You're either serving God or you're serving the flesh. You're either yielded to God or you're yielded to the flesh. You're either giving your members as service to the Lord Jesus for His glory, or you're making a decision to serve the flesh and for its glory. So put yourself in that place at every decision that comes to you in life. Now you think about it, and I realize some are bigger than others. But you put yourself at that crossroads and say, now one of these is the right way to go, one of these is the wrong way to go. And if we don't know, you know what we ought to do? Pray. If we do know, you know what we ought to do? Is pray. Because we need our Father's help. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. The flesh is in love with the worldly things, and the flesh is the enemy of God. The spiritual man despises the worldly things, and he is the friend of God. And they are contrary one to another. They never line up and they never agree. So know this, as you live your life day by day, one of the two is winning. How are you yielding your members? That's the one that's winning this warfare. How you use your body, how you behave yourself day by day. We're not talking about an invisible religion that's off in glory somewhere. This religion, if you want to call it that, this religion is lived out in a body day after day. And it's in the way you behave. It's in the way that you speak. It's in the things that you do. It's in how that you serve God. It's very much shoe leather to the ground. This gospel is dealing with how we live and move and have our being in this world day after day. So they're warring with one another. And what are we submitting ourselves to? He says here, listen, and I'm going to get ahead of myself if I ain't very careful. To be fond of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If the world is the side you're going to take, if you're going to follow the flesh, then know this, you're casting yourself on the opposite side that God's on. If I'm going to yield myself to the flesh, then I'm yielding myself to the one that is the enemy of God. I hope you see that. I'm going to war with God. I'm being drafted on the losing side. And you know what I'm going to have over there? No satisfaction. No joy. I'm going to bring trouble on me. I'll bring trouble on my family. I could bring trouble on you by my life, by my behavior. I could bring us to a place of greater trouble that ought not be. So the Bible says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that's within us lusteth to envy? So he's quoting here out of the Old Testament. And you know, you think about how true this is. You withhold your flesh from what it wants and see if that don't get stronger and greater. You hold him down long enough and he's going to fight harder and harder to have his way. He's going to kick harder to get out of the hold that he's in. This is the truth. If you've ever tried to live for the Lord, if you're saved and have ever tried to live for the Lord, you think I've blacked his eye and I've got him out of the way here and I'm going to be able to pray like I want to pray, and the next thing you know, in just a week or two, you're going to be back out of the habit of it. It's going to be long forgot about, and God's going to bring something to our mind and say, you know, you said you was going to pray every day and it's been a week and we've not hit our knees. That happens. You know what happened? We thought we had him down, and he blacked our eye before we knew it. No, I tell you what, we ought to be in prayer to our Father for grace and for strength, and be aware of the battle that's really going on behind the scenes. The battle, and a lot of times we're oblivious to what's going on. The Scripture doesn't say in vain that within us lusteth to envy. No, I tell you, there's a desire. And you know what that desire is? As he wants that. And listen, it's not sexual all the time. That can be a portion of it. When you say lust, that's where people's minds go. That's just the way our language is today. But he's talking about what the flesh wants versus what the Spirit wants. He's talking about the desire and the will of God versus the desire and the will of Joseph in the flesh. He's talking about me bringing this man and giving up what he wants and saying, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to do what you want me to do. And the battle that results from that decision and from that desire. So, friendship of the world, enmity with God. Does the Scripture say in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Absolutely not. That is the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. This warfare is the truth. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So what's happening here? I tell you what it is. It's a fight that we really can't win. It's a fight that we're unable to get the upper hand of. Now you lay them side by side and you look at Goliath, maybe 9 feet 9 inches tall, a man with a shield that weighs 3 of David. He's got a spear bigger than most of the soldiers out there. He's a strong man. He's been in battle. He's a warrior. He's a champion. And you've got David, 17, 18 year old, little skinny, ruddy boy. You know what he's about to do? He's about to step into a battle that he can't win. Ain't that right? If you saw that going into the octagon, if you saw that going into the boxing ring, who would you put your money on? That little fella don't stand a chance. And that's what we are now. As you look at you stepping up against this roaring lion, standing square-toed with this evil flesh, you know what? We don't stand a chance of whipping him. But God giveth more grace. The Lord was with David. The Lord was with him when he went down to the brook and he picked out them 5 stones. The Lord was with him when he let that stone out of the sling, and the Lord put it right between the giant's eyes, and by the grace of God, the little boy whooped the giant champion. And by the grace of God that he gives to us, that he infuses us with, he gives us the strength to overcome, and not overcome me, not overcome you, but to overcome ourselves, to overcome our own will and our own desire, to bring this man into the place that we could serve the Lord. God resisteth the proud, the haughty, those that are above others. That's what the flesh is. The flesh thinks he's better than. The flesh thinks he's bigger than. The flesh thinks he's above it. The flesh thinks he'll never do the such. The flesh thinks he's the best thing that's happened to the church in a long time. But I tell you, that's not the man that the Lord helps. It wasn't Goliath that stood out and beat his chest and said, I'm going to feed your body to the fowls of the air. God resisted him and give grace to David. And I tell you this, God will resist the flesh and he'll give grace unto us if we'll be humble and say, Father, this is a battle that I'm not able to win. I'm in a place that I don't know where to go. I don't know the decision to make. I pray unto you, Father, that you'd give me guidance, that you'd help me. He'll give grace to those. But to those that say, I know what I ought to do. I know how I ought to go. I know what I'm going to do here. To those, there's no grace for them. The Lord's looking for us to come humbly unto him. He giveth more grace. Submit yourselves therefore. So what do we get out of all this? Well, we've seen the warfare. We've seen the enmity. We've seen who's good. And we've seen who's evil. We saw how outnumbered that we are. And you just think about, just for a minute, think about all through the Scripture. Think about Gideon and 300 against an army that looked like grasshoppers. Think about Sennacherib coming up against Jerusalem with Hezekiah as the king. Think about Jonathan and his armor bearer going into the garrison of the enemy. Think about Samson rising up multiple times, being outnumbered greatly by the Philistines. You know how the Lord works. The Lord works with such a little number. He works with the weakest of the weak. I tell you, there was Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above the rest. If there was anybody fit to fight the giant, it should have been Saul, the biggest man in all of Israel. And when they put his armor on David, it drooped down. It was so big, he couldn't wear it. He couldn't carry it. David might have been the littlest man out there, but that's the one God chose, and that's the one God won the victory with. He's always use the little. He's always used the humble that he might get the glory. So you know where he brings me? He brings me to the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his army behind me. And I've got no way out. I've got nowhere to go. I can't whoop him. I can't cross the Red Sea. I'm just going to die here without hope. And you know what the Lord does? He gives more grace and he delivers and God's glorified. Amen. Where ought I to be? I ought to be submitted to him. Look at how evil the flesh is. Look at how it lusts against the truth of God. Look at how it desires to go contrary to everything that God says. Look at how it desires. I tell you, the flesh could go a month and never pray a prayer and feel good about it. Look at how evil and corrupt the flesh is. Who ought to shudder at how evil I am and ought to say, God, help me to be submitted to you. Lord, give more grace to me. I'm weak and I've failed and I've fallen short. I'm against an enemy that I cannot overcome on my own. I'm in a place that I do not know what to do. Father, would you give more grace to me and help me to be submitted? Help me to be subordinate. Help me to yield my body. Let me yield my life and let me yield my mind to you. Use me to accomplish your will and purpose in this world. That our lives, that our bodies, that the time we have left be given to the Lord. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, when Jesus come out of the temptation in the wilderness, the Bible says the devil left him for a season. We can have victories, but he'll be back. We won't knock him out for the 10 count. He's going to get back up and he's going to fight again. But you know, we can resist him. We can stand with the Father and we can win a little victory. And we can enjoy that victory. And you think, I've been in places where the Lord's done mighty things in my life. And I've thought, boy, what a victory that the Lord's given to me. Would you look at what the Lord's done? And I've rejoiced in that. And I thought, there'll be nothing any greater than this ever happened to me. And the next thing you know, the devil's right back on his feet. And we're right back in the battle. Things get heated once again. And in just a day or two, there's another victory. And I say, boy, this is even bigger than the last one. I tell you, that's the way the Lord's working. The devil may come back and fight, but we can resist him by the grace of God and have the victory over him. We can have the victory over him through the grace of God that is within us. He's already been defeated.
Amen.
He's already been judged. His end has already been said. You know where he's going? He's going to be cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. He's done for. But we're here to fight him with what time we've got left. Let us be valiant soldiers. Let us subordinate ourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Now that's not forever. He'll flee from you for a season. You'll rejoice in God. And in just a day or two, you'll be right back down in the trenches. You'll be right back down on Iwo Jima. You'll be right back down in the midst of the battle of fighting this same enemy again. But oh God, help us with a time, with the opportunity that we have, that we be submitted to God and resisting Him. Listen. Draw nigh to God, and He will. He might. Not maybe. Not like Baal if he's awake. No, God will draw nigh to them that will draw nigh to Him. This is not written for fun. This is the actual Word of God. And if I'll draw nigh to God, He'll come near to me. You know what the problem is? Oh, so often the problem is that I'm not praying, that I'm not asking, that I'm not seeking. You know the door's open though? If you're His child and in His family, the door is open for us to pray through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unto our Heavenly Father. Is there anything too hard to Him? Is there anything so small? I've thought foolishly in my past that that's so small I probably ought not even pray about that. It's a shame to even think about praying about those things. But I tell you the truth, He said, cast all your cares. Cast everything that's troubling you. Cast everything that's weighty to you. Cast all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. I'll finish in just one second. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what you tell the young'uns when they come in from playing and dinner's on the table? Wash your hands. You've been out in the mud. You've been out in the filth. You've got all that all over you. Wash your hands and get them clean. You know what He says to us? Where we've been in sin, where we've handled sin. You know, this is the truth now. You go out in the world to work. You go out in the world for any reason, there's going to be sin all around you. And you know what? It can't help but get on you. Jesus used the example of washing His disciples' feet. You remember that? They wore sandals in those days. And they walked on the streets. They were sand. They were dirt. And in a day's time, can you imagine what the feet looked like? They didn't have pavement or sidewalk. They were corroded. They were filthy. And the Lord girded Himself and washed their feet. And you might say, well, that's for lost people. But Peter said, Lord, You're not washing my feet. And Peter said, oh, I'm going to mess this up real bad. I'm not going to quote it. It's just going to be a shooting at it, okay? But Peter said, You're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And Peter said, then not my feet only, but wash my hands and my head as well. Peter's mouth got in front of his brain sometimes. And the Lord said, no, he that's clean need not to wash, save only his feet. You know where the feet had been? In the field. Peter wasn't lost. He hadn't went out and got lost again and he'd saved, but Peter had been trodden through the world and in and around sin, and he needed to be washed. Well, I tell you this, we live day by day, and you know what we've got? We've got influences everywhere. Influences of the devil. Influences that are not good. Influences that would lead us the wrong way. That would tell us the wrong thing. That would give us the wrong advice. You know what we'd better do? Cleanse our hands of that filth and say, Father, restore unto me your wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
Wash our feet where we've walked amongst the filth of this world and purify your hearts, you double-minded, two-hearted. That's what it means, two-hearted. Instead of single-hearted, with one desire to please the Lord, these folks were at a place that they had a heart to please the Lord and a heart to please the flesh. And when something come up, there was always a battle there. But boy, if we could get our heart cleansed, Lord, help me not to be so double-hearted, we'd have a head start in a lot of the battles that come up.
Yeah.
Our heart's with the Lord. Our heart's in His Word. We want to please Him. My desire is to please the Lord, and God help me not to please my flesh. If you start there, half the battle is already won. But if we've got a double mind, if we're two-hearted, and we've got a desire for both within us, know this, that the battle's going to be that much harder when it comes time to submit ourselves one to the other. So, purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm going to skip verse 9 just for time's sake. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. There's the heart of a servant of God. They're not looking to lift themselves up. I don't want somebody else to think highly of me, but I want to be humble. I want to be humiliated, it's the word meaning. I want to be humiliated. I want to be made nothing. I want you to know just how nothing that I am, so that when the Lord brings us up, we could be glorified and He could be glorified through that. Remember David. David got glory out of the victory he won. He did. His name was spread throughout all the earth when he killed Goliath. And he said, they said, David's killed his 10,000s and Saul's killed his thousands. David enjoyed that victory as well. But you know where the eyes and the focus really was? On the Lord. And so that ought to be where our heart, our desire, our love, and our focus is. On the Lord and on His glory. Because when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be a battle about what you're going to do that day. Who are you going to yield to? How are you going to live? Without grace, you're fallen. Without grace, you're going to yield to the flesh. We'll stop right there. If you would, please.